In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O Lord, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You know you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me to see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
This morning we come to Psalm 71. I've entitled it Learning from the Prayer of a Senior Citizen. And before you get all thingy about it, does that remind all you gold opal card holders out there, you are not the St. Paul's Youth Group anymore. If you're anything like me, you're no longer trying to be upwardly mobile, you're glad to be upward and mobile. So this is the psalm written by an old man. And so I'm going to look at it today in that light. Psalm 71, author unknown, largely a mosaic of other psalms. There's lots of Psalm 31 in this psalm. Psalm 22, Psalm 70, Psalm 35. Today I want to refer you to three aspects of this psalm. The psalmist looking back over a lifetime of walking with God. The psalmist looking forward to the rest of his life walking with God. And then at the end, the psalmist looking upward in praise to the God who has always been his God. So pray with me for a moment and we'll get into it. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that the words of these ancient psalms still come to life for us today and speak to us about you and the way that who you are and the way you deal with us. Father, we thank you for those who wrote them, and we thank you for those who collated and collected them so they could speak to us this day. Speak to us through this psalm, we pray, in Jesus' name. And if you have your new sheet, you'll find Psalm 28 in the middle. Might be helpful because I'll refer to a few verses from time to time. Looking back over a lifetime of walking with God, he acknowledges in verses 1 to 3 that God has been his refuge or his rock that we've just heard sung about, his safe place. Refuges were common all over the Palestinian landscape. Herod had 6 fortresses. The hill of Megiddo, which is also a fortress, has boasted 31 different civilizations that used it as a rock or a fortress. And there are some 45 references in the Bible, most of them in the Psalms, but not entirely, that talk about God as our rock. This was mentioned last week. We were talking about Psalm 28. It's a place. A refuge is a safe place. It's a place where you can go in distress of any kind and turn to God for comfort, security, and for peace. So the psalmist begins with a very positive statement. You have been, in you I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. With him, everything is under control. When you go to God and you're in your safe place, you have that feeling that it's all under control. As the writer of the Proverbs put it in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Or as in the promise in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We have a refuge in God. He also talks about God who has sustained him. He acknowledges how God has continually sustained him, even from birth. Physically and spiritually, and using the imagery of a shepherd, Psalm 23 speaks about our sustaining God by leading us to green pastures and still waters. We think about the desert in New South Wales and parts of South Australia and Queensland, and we know what it would be like for a shepherd to be able to take his sheep to places where there was green pasture and still waters. Why still waters, you say? If you know anything about sheep, you will know they're not interested in drinking from running water. They like to have still water to drink from. There are other animals that don't mind it to be running, but sheep are not like that. So when Psalm 23 says, he leads us to still waters, it very carefully saying it's a place where sheep can drink safely and be sustained. And God is the one who sustains, not by bread alone, as Jesus reminds us, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He also talks as he looks back about his faithful and righteous God. In verse 6, he refers to relying on God, and in verse 22, he praises God for his continual faithfulness. Lamentations 3 reminds us, as we know, that great is the faithfulness of God. 2 Thessalonians 3 tells us the Lord is faithful and will guard us against the evil one. And 2 Timothy 2 reminds us that even if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. We have a faithful God. God's righteousness is another constant theme of Scripture and a constant theme of this psalm. God's holiness and moral perfection culminating in revealing his righteousness to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, as he is described in the Bible. And so as he looks back, all he can see is a God who has sustained him, a faithful, righteous God who sustained him throughout his life and who is and continues to be a strong and a safe refuge. We'll come back to that before I'm finished. As he looks forward then to the remainder of his life, he prays that God will continue to be his refuge. Who or what is your refuge? I watch people almost every day seeking refuge in many different ways. Some people seek refuge in the prestige of their profession. Some seek refuge in philosophy and religion. Some seek refuge in drugs and alcohol and body image. Some seek refuge in unbridled pleasure and in keeping company with people who will never offer them true peace and security. Their hiding places, in my view, are very vulnerable. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can be your refuge." And he invited his disciples to abide or dwell only in him. So Henry Light could write, "When other helpers fail and comfort flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." This psalmist was in some sort of trouble. Some enemies were circling. He was a little bit worried as to how things might go, but he kept looking to the refuge that he could find in God. And so we should in our lives, as things come and go, and there are ups and downs with our lives, the lives of those with whom we're involved, we come to the one refuge that we can rely on, the one safe place, the one safe one in whom we can find refuge. So he looks forward to that happening. He continues to pray that God therefore would be his deliverer in this trouble that he's sort of in at the moment. In verse 4, "God, will you continue to be my deliverer?" In fact, he prays, "Come quickly to help me. Make haste to help us. Make speed to save us," as we used to pray in the morning and evening prayer. He did not want to be cast off by God simply because he was old. We've been delivered from sin through Christ's death, but we still need deliverance as well, day by day, from Satan's attempts to derail our faith, Satan's attacks on our families. And so we pray, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. We have a deliverer, and like the psalmist of Psalm 71, we pray, Lord, deliver us. Lord, bring us to a safe place. Save us from that which would assail us and our faith in you. And he prays that God might continue to be his righteous and faithful God. In verses 19 through 24, his desire to find refuge in God and deliverance by God all stem from his trust that God will continue to be righteous and faithful. Scriptures affirm that God's character doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with God. I, the Lord, do not change. And so, unlike us, we can change from day to day. It's our nature. God can stay faithful and he will always stay righteous. So the psalmist puts great store and great comfort in a God like that. So if I again quote from Henry Light's hymn, "O thou who changest not, abide with me." And then he prays that God will be his continual hope. He's really saying, as I get old, help me never to take my eyes off you. You have been my hope from birth, in verse 5, my confidence from my youth. So now he prays in verses 9 and 18 that in a similar way, God will continue to be his hope and his enabler. It's easy, if you've been running a Christian life or the Christian race for a long time, to grow weary in the race as you try and reach the end, to grow weary in the faith, to have doubts about your faith, to wonder if it's all real. Have I just been somehow following something my parents got me into, or people in my peers got me into? Is this stuff real? And we want to continue to the end that God will be our continual hope. That's his prayer. Lord, don't abandon me now. Continue to be my hope. As for me, he said, I will always have hope. He's reassuring himself before God. And then he says, I will praise you more and more as I reflect upon that. Far from fading out in his Christian walk, if I can use an expression that means more to us, he wants to run strongly to the finish line, which then leads us to the final part of Psalm 71, which I may say some people think is the key part of it. So let me share it with you, that God will allow him to witness to the next generation. He said, Lord, don't take my life till I've had an opportunity to witness to the next generation. This was his prayer, that God would enable him to declare God's power and God's righteousness to the next generation, and for his life to be a testimony of grace to a younger generation to observe. Let me ask us all this morning, as you get older, is that your prayer? Do you want to run strongly to the finish line? Do you want to be able to witness to the next generation? Do you have a testimony to share with them? 2001, when I looked after St. Paul's between Hugh Cox and John Gray, the 8 a.m. service had been pushed earlier to 7:45 a.m. Some people said to me, you know, Ken, a lot of people don't think this service is real church. They think we're just the prelude before real church begins at 10. They think we'll die out soon enough and we have real church. We'll all be real church and we won't have a 7:45 or an 8 o'clock. I thought to myself, how sad. I also thought, I must confess to you, I thought, how ignorant. May I say the opposite is true? If 8 o'clock people think real church is 8 o'clock, and 10 o'clock and 5 and 7 are something else, we've got the same problem. But in terms of the 8 o'clock people, is this real church? Are we real Christians? Do we have something to offer? Retirement is not a word, it's not a biblical word. Did Moses retire? Did John retire? Did Paul retire? Old age is still revered in most cultures. Michelangelo was still designing churches at 88. Roger was updating his thesaurus at 90 when he died. Albert Schweitzer, like Catherine Hamlin today, was still operating in his hospital in Africa at 89. Claude Monet began his famous Water Lily series at the age of 76, and the pianist Arthur Rubinstein performed until he was 90. I could go on. At 86, John Wesley preached in every county in England and Wales, riding sometimes 30 to 50 miles a day and often preaching twice a day at 86. At 86, Billy Graham conducted his final crusade in New York in 2005. And Oswald Sanders, great Christian writer and preacher, like our own Paul Barnett today, was still writing and preaching well into his 80s. Paul Barnett's still producing a book a year and still leading groups to the Holy Land and to Greece and Turkey in his 80s. So what of you and me? Do we have a burning desire to be actively witnessing to our faith in our older years? Do we have a burning desire to be sharing God's faithfulness and sharing the gospel with our children and families? What a marvelous ministry that is. If you have that ministry, you have a very powerful ministry to be somebody who, like this psalmist in Psalm 71, says, "Don't let me die. Don't let me die till I've passed on my faith to the next generation." That's the challenge for us today. Somebody, perhaps you might think quite rudely, has observed some of us die in our 60s, but they don't bury us till we're in our 80s. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be me. Because as the psalmist said, I want to continue to do it until my life's end. So as the psalmist looks back over his life, he sees a faithful God who's been with him, a faithful God to whom he can turn in refuge, a faithful God who's been his deliverer, and in this current trouble that he's in, he then continues to pray that God will not desert him, that God will continue to be his deliverer, his refuge, his safe place. But then he says, "And do not let me go until I've passed on you to another generation." I remember when I preached on this exact psalm 4 years ago, I told you about a book written by a guy named Wayne Dyer in America, which was 10 Secrets for Successful Living. The one that impacted his daughter, Serena, the most was a line in that 10 Secrets that said, "Don't die with the music still in you." It would be very sad if we die, but we've never been able to share what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God will enable us to share our faith with a new generation. That God will enable you to be such a witness to your family and to your friends that you can pass on the faith to the next generation. And finally, in this psalm, as he reflects on God, his heart is immediately lifted up to God in praise. Although he'd been in a bit of trouble, he's still able to praise God. Reminds me a little bit of, "Though the fig tree does not blossom and there be no cattle or sheep in the stall, yet will I still praise you." And he says, "I will ever praise you" in verse 6. "I will praise you more and more" in verse 14. And in verses 22 to 24, "I will praise you with the harp. I will sing praises to you with the lyre. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you." So there you go. That's Psalm 71, a senior's psalm, affirming God as our lifelong refuge, our hiding place, our faithful God sustaining us into old age, and a prayer that we might be able to continue to witness for him. Do you have a testimony to God's faithfulness, I asked you few minutes ago? Do you have a testimony that God is your God and the faithful God who's watched over you all your life? And do you have folk that you can share it with? Is that your prayer? And then, do you have a heart to praise God? We've been quoting old hymns the last few weeks, but one I really love, another Charles Wesley hymn, where he cries out, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God." We pray that God will give us hearts that will praise him in our old age. No matter how crook we might be feeling, we will still be people who praise. Look back over your life, see God's faithfulness. Look around now and continue to pray that God will walk with you. And look upwards to God so that you can praise him always. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for these words. May they just be to us this morning a little tonic, a little encouragement, a little push, to keep praising, to keep witnessing, and Father, to keep praying and acknowledging you as our strong deliverer, our rock, our hiding place, the one to whom we can flee in times of trouble. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.